Hello, this is Matthew Appleby, and this is the Hort Week weekly podcast for the horse industry. And today I'm with Sam Rivers of ICL, and we're talking all about water quality. So welcome, Sam.
Hi, Matthew. Always a pleasure.
Excellent. Brilliant to have you back on. So water quality, that's a great topic, a big topic. So what characteristics do you look for regarding water quality?
Well, coincidentally, it's absolutely tipping it down today outside. So it's quite a timely a topic, I think, to talk about today. But water, we won't go into too much detail about how important water is, but what we do need to know is it's essential to plant growth. It plays a key role in evaporation, transpiration, building strong stems and leaves, the transport and uptake of nutrients. Ultimately, without water, there can be no growth. So it's important to understand exactly the type of water you're putting onto your plants. And I think it can be, you know, quite overlooked perhaps in plant production. But as we look at the changing climate, you know, we're getting hotter, drier summers, you know, getting optimizing your water quality is going to become really crucial. And we look at things like rainwater capture and recycling, and, you know, these types of technologies are going to become more and more the norm.
What characteristics do you look at regarding water quality?
Well, there are three main characteristics we look at regarding water quality, and that's physical, biological, and chemical. When we look at the physical aspect, we're really looking at the amount of suspended solids in the water and also the temperature. When we look at things like suspended solids, they can clog up irrigation equipment. So, you know, borehole or mains water can have a high levels of like fine sands or iron. There are solutions. We can use things like filter systems to help resolve those issues. But then when we look at temperature from the physical perspective, we're really looking at things like cold water shock to young plants, if you're extracting from like cold borehole water, for example. But also warmer temperatures can lead to increases in biological activity, such as algal bloom. The next step we look at then is the biological aspect. So that kind of goes hand in hand with temperature. If it's warmer, then you tend to see more microbial activity. But we're looking at, you know, the bacteria or the fungi in the water, and then the level of algal blooms too. And then lastly, it's the chemical. So then we look at the soluble salts, you know, the EC, the conductivity. We look at the pH, and then the hardness of the water, the alkalinity. Is it hard or is it soft water?
Okay. How do you determine your water chemical properties?
It's quite, I wanted to say simple then, but it's not a simple process. But ultimately, what we do, we visit a nursery and we would take a water sample from the irrigation source, and then we send this off to an independent laboratory for analysis. And then they give us a lovely report, which we then can really look at exactly what's happening with the water. We look at, you know, things like the conductivity. This can be quite crucial when we look at plant growths. Is it high or is it low? We look at the pH as well. We can look at the buildup of elements, you know, the ballast or useful nutrients. We also look at the bicarbonate level, you know, will the level affect the pH of the substrate as well? And a water analysis we always recommend is probably the best thing when you're looking at, you know, water soluble feeds, and helps you understand if you're seeing issues with deficiencies or toxicity issues too.
Right. Why do you think conductivity is so important?
Conductivity, you know, too high can cause issues, especially for young plants. Too low, it often means that there's a lack of some elements that in the water. So when we look at the conductivity, a general range can be anywhere from 70 to 700 microsiemens. But, you know, the conductivity is made up from essential elements. So you've got the nitrogen, you've got the potassium, you've got the phosphorus, magnesium, calcium trace elements. But when we look at things like the sodium, the chloride, the sulfates, they can be really detrimental to plant growth. So things like hard water, for example, they can often have high readings of these elements, and also significantly high levels of calcium and magnesium. So these are things we have to consider when we're looking at, you know, issues that you might start to see on the nursery. So EC gives you a really good picture of the kind of, you know, if you've got an EC of 3,000, you would definitely not want to be using that water on your nursery.
Can you talk a bit more about pH?
That kind of goes back to a bit of GCSE chemistry, I guess. A pH is a degree of acidity. It reflects the amount of hydrogen ions in a solution. I think that's right. But it's expressed on a logarithmic scale from 0 to 14. So it's basically, you know, as we know, the lower the value, the more acidic. And, you know, pH 14 is a very alkaline, you know, substrate. But when we look at pH, we really need to understand, are we talking about the pH of the growing media or the pH of the water? The pH of the growing media or the substrate influences the uptake of nutrients by plants. And that's where we also have to look at that quite closely as well, especially when we look at things like peat-free, peat reduction. But when we look at the pH of the water, that's important because that's really key when we're looking at water-soluble fertilizers. So it's important to understand how that pH impacts things.
No. Are there any more main differences between growing media pH and water pH?
When we look at growing media pH, you know, low pH levels can disturb the uptake of certain elements such as potassium, calcium, magnesium, molybdenum as well. Toxicity can occur with, you know, excess uptake of some of these elements. I'm sure if you go on Google and type in pH chart of growing media nutrients, you'll see a very kind of classical chart. It's hard to describe it over a podcast, but it's quite a well-known picture. But when we look at high pH levels, you can then start to see things like deficiencies, things like iron, quite classic like symptoms of high pH. When we look at water, we don't necessarily see that as a more important aspect. It is important, but what we look at with water samples, it's the alkalinity, the amount of bicarbonate in the water. That's basically telling us how hard or soft the water is. So we always judge the pH against the amount of bicarbonate. But this is where we have, you know, you're looking at your different water types. Then is it hard or is it soft water?
Okay, when you're looking at hard water, what are the main considerations?
Well, hard water, in a typical hard water sample, which is quite a lot of the UK, we see high conductivity, we see high salt levels, high levels of calcium, magnesium, we see a generally higher pH and high alkalinity. And in terms of, you know, issues we see with that, you can start to see things like system blockages. You know, irrigation equipment, you see lime scale buildup. I'm sure everyone listening to this has, you know, in a hard water area seen like lime scale on their kettles. And but this can cause unsightly things. If you're watering plants, you can start to see kind of, you know, calcium deposits, lime scale deposits on the foliage. While it's not detrimental to the plant, it can cause, you know, it's unaesthetically appealing ultimately.
What are the options then for people who are using hard water?
Well, there's a few options, thankfully. One of the easiest options is to probably blend with softer water samples. A lot of nurseries are collecting rainwater now. Rainwater does tend to be a lot softer. So you can do a 50-50 mix of these and actually get quite an optimal water sample, which I've seen a lot of growers do, and it works really well. But if that's not an option, then we do have water soluble feeds specifically formulated for hard water. So we've got universal hard water. We have a range of kind of analysis on these, but that's formulated specifically for hard water. So it doesn't have as much calcium or magnesium in, but it's got a gentle acid, which works really well. And in really, really serious, you know, kind of hard water areas, really high conductivity, really high, you know, pH levels, you can look to then inject things like acids, like nitric acids, phosphoric acids, but they can be quite risky. You need to do a whole cost assessment for them. So it's not the ideal scenario, and, you know, it adds to the cost as well.
Right. Well, we've done hard water. So what are the main considerations when you're using soft water?
Soft water is often considered quite a nice sample because you can add things to it to improve it. Generally, what we see in soft water is a lower conductivity, so it tends to be a lot safer for young plants. Those high conductivities can really scorch plant roots and lead to a lot of issues. But we also see things like low levels of calcium and magnesium, which when we look at peat-free growing can be an issue because less lime is added to peat-free growing media because peat, you add lime to improve the acidity level, improve the pH value, whereas you don't necessarily need to add as much lime to peat-free growing media. So we tend to sometimes see calcium and magnesium deficiencies in peat-free, which can be overcome. But we can see a more varied range in the pH as well. Because it's got a low buffering capacity, the pH is more susceptible to change. But then we also see a low alkalinity as well.
Okay, well, I asked about the options to use in hard water. So what are the options to use in soft water?
There's a few options again. In terms of using soft water, we want to avoid any deficiency issues, which you sometimes see. So, you know, like calcium, magnesium. So we have, you know, things like soft water feeds. We've got, again, it's called universal soft water. And that's specifically formulated for soft water. It's got the extra calcium and magnesium in there as well. But you can also look to kind of similar to hard water, you can look to blend with a hard water source if that's an option as well on your nursery. But we also have a range of controlled release fertilizers. We've got something called Osmocote CalMag, which we do use a lot in peat-free growing or calcium magnesium sensitive plants. So there are options there, but this is where it's really important to get those water samples done so we can, you know, ensure that you're optimizing the plant growth on your nursery as much as possible.
Thanks, Sam. We've covered a lot of ground in quite a short time there, and we're coming towards the end of the podcast. But are there any last tips you can give us about water quality?
Well, I think getting, like I said before, getting your water analysed on a regular basis is really key. I think especially if you're using things like soft water, which can fluctuate a little bit more throughout the year, because I said, you know, like I said, the pH can be more susceptible to change. And then it's also looking at a review if you're using, you know, water soluble fertilizers. We can look if there are options. Would it be better to look at something like a hard water or a soft water feed to just help overcome some of those issues that you might see? But it's one of those things where you can call one of your ICL technical area sales managers in, and we'll come and do the water sample and give you a really useful, explanation of the sample of your water. But we also have software which may or may not have been mentioned called AngelaWeb, which is a really powerful bit of software where we can add in the results from the water analysis to this bit of software. And we can look at exactly where, you know, if you've got a specific plant that you're struggling with, we can put this into the software and, you know, help with your water sample, get it to the right level that we need to. If we need to add more fertilizer, for example, into that tank, we can really optimize that.
That's brilliant stuff, Sam. So we've covered all aspects of water quality. So thanks very much to Sam Rivers from ICL for all that. I'm Matt Appleby, Hort Week editor, and this has been the Hort Week podcast. Make sure you never miss one. Subscribe to or follow Hort Week podcasts via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform. Once again, thanks to Sam Rivers from ICL. I'm Matt Appleby from Hort Week, and see you next time.